From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 109 with guest Jeff Atwood, recorded Thursday, April 23rd, 2009. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. And this is Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, everybody. Richard, how are you this fine day?
Very good. Spring is here. You know, the allergies are on. Everything's fine.
I moved to Oregon, not intentionally, but, well, I could say intentionally, but it wasn't really, in part to escape the allergies. So everything grows here, but where I moved from in New Mexico, that was just brutal.
And most people move to New Mexico to get away from allergies.
Oh, I don't know why. I mean, I was just miserable for 3 or 4 months out of the year down there, unless I got shots and all kinds of stuff. So, up here in the Pacific Northwest, everything is green and I don't have allergies.
Yeah. Well, it's the opposite for me, man. Hey, the Tech Ed Sweepstakes is still going on. You can go to it at .netrocks.com and see the link there for the Tech Ed site. You can win yourself a free pass, airfare, and hotel to Tech Ed. Just got to enter the sweepstakes. So by all means, take a look at that, and I'll be at Tech Ed. Unfortunately, my friend, you will not.
Nope, not this time around. Hopefully next time. Sorry, everybody, can't meet you down there, but you know, that's the way scheduling goes sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm deep in the bowels of Speaker Idol right now, getting all the contestants lined up. So if you'd like to be a contestant on Speaker Idol, send us an email, info@runasradio.com.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of fun. So if you've never spoken at a conference before, if it's something you think you'd be good at and something you can do, jump right in and get involved.
You bet. All right, let's get to our guest. Jeff Atwood lives in Berkeley, California with his wife, 2 cats, a new human being, and a whole lot of computers. He has a particular interest in the human side of software development, as represented in his Coding Horror blog. Jeff is also the CEO of Stack Overflow, a fledgling question and answer community for programmers, with his business partner, Joel Spolsky. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
And you also have Stack Overflow is a website that's focused on the dev community, but you now have you're working on an IT one now as well, right?
That's right. There was a lot of crossover between programmers who had questions. And in fact, this actually caused a problem for us, because with any community, I believe you have to establish sort of what the community is.
Right. Right.
And that means establishing what it's not, which means certain questions, it's not that they're bad questions or you're a bad person for asking them, but they just don't really belong in that place. And this frustrated a lot of people. And there was certainly a class of questions that were sort of in this gray area between, you know, you're a programmer, you have code that you need to run, but you also need to set up servers to sort of test your code, say web servers, right, and, you know, mail servers and things like that. So they would ask these questions, and we would close them because we'd say, okay, that's not really a programming question. But it makes sense to have another site where you could actually legitimately ask those questions. And it's going to be called serverfault.com. And
very cool.
It's pretty much exactly the Stack Overflow model, which is tightly focused question and answers, but with more of a sysadmin/IT type focus to the questions.
Cool. Yeah. And of course, the model of Stack Overflow is awesome. It's that sort of community-centric, you ask your question, and and everybody answers, and they rank the answer so that naturally the best answer rises to the top.
That's right. It's sort of a next-generation forum system in that we've tried to take aspects of blogs, of Wikipedia, of Dig and Reddit, and sort of fold it all together and sort of have, you know, a mashup, if you will, of sort of the coolest and most useful concepts in terms of, because I know as a programmer, I spend tons of time on the web, and I sort of observe what works, what doesn't work. And I mean, I've been a part of online communities since the bad old days of, like, you know, CompuServe and, you know, 300 baud modems and things like that.
Right.
So I've been around the block a few times on community, and I had some strong ideas, and so does my partner, Joel Spolsky, about how community should be run and what actually works and what doesn't. So it's kind of exciting to have the opportunity to sort of tweak the formula and try to put something out there that you think is, you know, really going to improve the situation for the average person looking for the answer, you know, to their problem.
So is the site already available? What should people expect, and where and how can they find it?
at serverfault.com. So it should be up and running by the time you're hearing this. I don't know if it'll be public yet. I think it probably will be. We're going to have a really short beta period because we feel like the software is already in place. We know how the software works. And
right.
This is just a different community with different visual style and different, you know, physical server it's running on.
Now, Stack Overflow took off like gangbusters. As I recall watching your blog, that it's been a real race for you just handling the infrastructure to keep the Stack Overflow site running well.
That's true. It has grown quite a lot, and we kind of cheated because Joel and I had these really large audiences. And this is sort of a variable for me with the sysadmin IT site with Server Fault, is that I don't know. It's been hard to identify the IT community. It's really hard to find prominent sysadmin/IT type people on the net. There seems to be a much more easy to find community of like programmer bloggers. It seems like almost every programmer is a blogger.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we joke about that, but you know, it's really not true. Actually, there's tons and tons of programmers who aren't bloggers, but there's a big community that's easy to find. Now, when it comes to sysadmin and IT types, it's just not as easy to find them for some reason. So I'm a little concerned, and we're actually going to seed the community with people like me who, you know, I actually love servers and hardware and stuff like that, but not every programmer does. But there's definitely a community of programmers that really enjoy sort of the sysadmin/IT/hardware side of things. And mm-hmm. those are the people we're going to try to seed the community with. And of course, anybody else who really wants to be involved, if you're, you know, a real bona fide sysadmin or, you know, IT guru, then absolutely you're welcome to participate. But seeding it's going to be awkward. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I know I'll be writing about it over on my blog, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it once you release this and come out. A good, strong, the model that you have for Stack Overflow, I think, will apply quite well to the IT side of the house.
Yeah, that's another thing, is we felt like it was a community that was closely enough related. Because really, when we built Stack Overflow, we had a very specific community in mind. A lot of the decisions we made, we're not sure would work for, you know, say, doctors or lawyers or something like that. But for programmers, you know, we knew programmers. We were programmers. And to the extent that, you know, I do IT stuff and I do sysadmin stuff myself, there's actually questions that I have that I want answered.
Right.
And would love to post on Server Fault. And I haven't been able to. It's actually been personally frustrating to me. It's like, I want the tool to be out there for very selfish reasons, because I actually have questions that I would like other people to help me resolve.
Exactly.
I remember your blog post about, you're doing all the right things when you first got your new servers in, those Lenovo servers, and got your RAID array all set up, and then immediately broke it, pulled one of the mirror drives to see how it reacted.
Oh, God. I don't even talk about the RAID array. We've had such... it's been kind of a nightmare with the RAID array. Like, I did so much due diligence on that RAID array in terms of setting it up, testing it, burning it in, everything I could. And granted, I'm not a genius when it comes to this stuff, but I have enough experience that I know enough to be dangerous, and I'm good at doing research, right? So I set up the RAID array, got it all configured, and I had to update the firmware. That ended up being the big stumbling block. I was kind of afraid to mess with RAID firmware just because it seemed kind of scary.
Yeah, you could brick the controller if you did it wrong.
Well, that plus it's like all your data, right? Like, it doesn't matter how good your mirroring is when the array is just completely non-functional.
Right.
Exactly.
So I was a little leery of doing that. But once I updated the firmware, it was fine. Or so I thought. And then with the database server, which is it's a 2U, so there's actually 6 drives in it. And there's 2 arrays. There's a RAID 10 array of 4 drives. And then there's a mirror array that the operating system is on. And that mm-hmm. controller has given us continual problems. Like, we just continue to get these I/O timeouts under heavy load. Like, if there's anything going on, like the database is doing a backup, or, you know, it's in full recovery mode, so it's writing tons of data to the drives, it just occasionally times out on the I/O. And we've updated BIOS to the absolute bleeding edge version. It's actually scary how many BIOS updates there have been for this machine. Like, since I shipped it out, there was a critical update. I shipped it out in February. There was a critical BIOS update for it in the middle of March. Just to get an idea of what's going on there. So that was a little scary. And even after updating everything to the latest possible revisions, we're actually going to try swapping out physical drives now. We have a suspicion that maybe the controller just doesn't like this particular brand of drive we're using. We sort of violated the rule, which is that you're supposed to buy everything from the same vendor so that they support it.
Right.
I was unwilling to pay the essentially five times cost premium for the Lenovo special SATA drive. In retrospect, maybe I should have. But we're going to actually try different physical drives and see if that helps with the RAID array. And if that doesn't work, then we're literally looking at ripping out the RAID card and putting in a different one, which is going to be excruciating.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you've replaced the controller card yet, or and or if it's a single controller or multiple controllers that you have running in there.
Well, this particular model, it's a rebranded Adaptec controller. It's called the Serve RAID. That's what IBM / Lenovo calls it. And there's also this transition point where IBM gave their server business to Lenovo. So it's essentially the same exact hardware, but like with different names and different model numbers. So that makes it a little more complicated too, because you have a Lenovo server that's really identical to the old IBM servers. So it works with all the same parts. So that there actually are different sort of blessed RAID controllers that you can put in the machine. And if swapping the physical drives doesn't result in an improvement, and by improvement, I mean no more mysterious I.O. timeouts that we can't diagnose. I mean, everything is the latest possible version. Latest possible, like, Windows 2008 driver. Latest possible BIOS. And we actually updated the BIOS of the, there's something else in it, the backplane. We actually updated the BIOS for that even.
Yep.
And it's still timing out on us. So if changing the physical drives doesn't work, then yeah, we're gonna have to look at either getting network-attached storage, which is very, very expensive, or replacing the RAID controller. But yeah, you can see where I would love to be able to talk about this kind of stuff on ServerFault, because this is clearly not programming-related, so I can't ask about it on Stack Overflow.
Right, but it's the kind of stuff that all of us in the IT community deal with every day, is those types of problems. So, and Lord knows, the IT community, when it comes to talking about RAID and geeking out on that kind of stuff and other similar topics, will certainly have a lot to say, and there's a ton of valuable information out there. A place to go and find it would be really useful.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is what I'm saying. It's like, I want to build it because I need it. You know,
it's for you, actually.
And the RAID is very cool. Like, when I built these, a lot of people criticized me because when buying the servers, like, I opted to kind of not really build my own, but I got the Lenovo servers and I assembled them myself and sort of put in all the parts and sort of upgraded the CPUs myself, because I really wanted to touch the stuff. Like, I wanted to physically touch the servers, you know, put the memory in, put the CPUs in, put the drives in, and just run it through its paces and make sure I personally understood, like, if something went wrong at the data center, because we're co-located, like, I would be able to help troubleshoot and not just be like a noob, like, oh, I have no idea, it's hardware, you know, I can't compile it, you know, I guess I'm a little bit of a OCD in that I like to have control over everything that goes into our system.
Well, and if you're co-locating servers, or if you don't have physical access to them, then just knowing what they physically look like when you take the cover off so that you can talk to somebody who is looking at it, there's can be a lot of value in that, understanding not only how it works, but what it looks like under the hood.
Absolutely. I think it was, to me, it was valuable. It was like an investment of my time. I mean, on a pure cost basis, maybe it doesn't really make sense. I could probably take that time and do, I don't know, something else, like work on Stack Overflow. But for me, it was almost like fun time. Like, I got to learn about stuff that I've never really worked with really high-end servers before. And this was my opportunity to do so, and particularly with RAID, right? I mean, RAID is the key ingredient to a lot of these servers in terms of scalability and performance and things like that. And I wanted to have a basic handle on it. And I've learned a tremendous amount. So from that perspective, it's been very successful. And I think on Stack Overflow, and hopefully on ServerFault too, that's really what the community is about. It's like, let's learn about this stuff together. You know, let's share information. Let's learn. I don't have all the answers. I'm kind of an amateur, but I always have I've always liked the mindset of coming in as an amateur and not saying, okay, I'm an expert. I know everything there is to know. But like, I know this. I know these things and I think this. And then, you know, share that with the community and see what kind of reaction they have to it. And maybe I'll learn something and maybe they'll learn something from me.
And you've built the software, so, you know, you're in this great position as you know how the code runs, so you can't very well blame the software. That's your fault anyway. So actually getting your site to run fast, because you're straddling the line so well, you know, you get to play back and forth on those problems. I mean, how often do we see this battle where the developer says, hey, it runs great on my machine, must be your servers, and you're convinced your servers are configured correctly, so there's got to be a problem with the software.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I have a background, although I have had one job at a fairly large company, I worked at a lot of small companies where you wear a lot of different hats.
Right.
And one of those hats I always wore was I was the IT guy anyway. I was the programmer and I was the IT guy.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that because to me it was just fun to sort of switch gears, not all the time because it gets ridiculous, but every so often just to switch gears and say, you know what, I'm just going to blow off some steam and actually work with hardware for a little bit and just, you know, get a slightly different experience under my belt. So I actually enjoy working with sort of different technologies at any given time, not just being pure software. And I think in terms of the integration, that absolutely helps you. Because, you know, some of the problems we have on Stack Overflow, if you weren't able to sort of look at the hardware and diagnose the hardware to some basic degree, you would just kind of be dead in the water.
Absolutely. And I remember your posting about moving over to the new data center with the fancy new servers and, you know, everything is bigger and better. And then you actually fire the site up and it's slower.
Oh, that was a great story. I should tell that story.
Absolutely tell the story. It's a classic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was totally classic. So we're all excited, right? So we bought these new awesome servers that I spent, you know, like a month and a half just learning and getting configured. And they looked really good. I'd done all the due diligence and I'd really done my homework and shipped them to the data center, you know, UPS. And they arrive. We finally get them plugged in and Jeff goes down and slides them into the rack and gets it all set up. And we turn them on and we run our first. We finally get all the code up and running, right? Because that took a little effort. We had to transfer the database over. And it's all ready to go. So we're like, awesome, let's fire it up and let's like do a page load. And we did a page load and it was like twice as slow as the old system, which was on like 50% slower machine across the board, like hard drives, half the memory, half the CPU speed. We're like, we were just like, you could hear a deflating sound. It was kind of like a balloon, you know, you push on, it's like, we were like, what happened here?
Yep. You play the sad trombone here. Wah, 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 wah.
Exactly. And then it took a while to figure out like what was going on because we had to sort of go down the checklist of like, okay, is it an IO problem? Is it a CPU problem? You know, and we had to like reduce all these variables out, which was, you know, a synthesis of messing with the software and messing with the server remotely, just sort of manipulating it. And finally we had eliminated all the possibilities and we were like kind of freaking out a little bit about like we couldn't figure out what was wrong. Like, why would it be twice as slow? That doesn't make any sense. And, you know, the queries were returning fast. Like, we could run the queries on the database, and those looked good. So we knew it wasn't the database or the I.O. And you know, hello world type pages loaded very, very fast as well. So we're like, wow, what's the variable here? And then I started thinking, okay, the network. So the way our code works, we actually do a lot of queries. It's not super optimal because we use this technology called Link to SQL. And a lot of times that generates, like, more queries than you would probably want if you were hand-tuning everything, but it abstracts stuff away in the code, so it's like easier to write the code. So that's the trade-off. It's less coding work, but it's more queries to the database. This turns out to be okay in for the most part, because the modern stack we're using, the SQL Server 2008 and Windows Server 2008, are actually very, very fast. You can get away with this stuff. But I was noticing that the heavier the page was in terms of queries, the worse it did.
Right.
So then I started thinking about the network, and sure enough, on a lark, I was like, let's update the network drivers just to see what happens. And this is kind of sketchy because you're doing it remotely, right? You're doing it over the network.
Yeah, this is a breaking change. If you do this wrong, you're going to the data center.
Yeah, exactly. And luckily, one of our guys, one of the reasons we picked this particular data center is it's literally like a mile from Jeff's house. So we do actually have the ultimate remote hands technology, which is Jeff. And he's very cool about this stuff. But we knew it was risky, and I thought, okay, I'll just try it on one of the web tiers. And I was able to do it remotely. The driver actually, to Windows 2008 server's credit, it was very smooth. I mean, I updated the driver, and it just immediately shifted over as if nothing else had happened. That was great. And then, sure enough, as soon as I updated, and I believe it was Broadcom, I believe it was the driver. As soon as we did that, bam, you know, performance was 20 to 30% faster, which is what we were expecting. Because of all
that's a common problem in, you know, networked applications with, you know, multiple machines talking to each other is you'll get your full duplex, you know, full speed connection will drop to half duplex and some really low speed. And next thing you know, that it's like, what happened to my application?
Well, exactly. And it was just such a relatively obscure thing. Cause for me on the desktop machines I built, I didn't even think about network drivers. I can't even remember the last time in Windows Vista or, you know, Windows XP before that, I even cared about what version of the network driver I was using, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's usually below zero in terms of your priorities. Like video driver, yeah, sure, absolutely. But network driver, it usually doesn't register. Yeah. And we have this little managed switch that we got, which is actually kind of cool. It's not a very pricey device, but it has a web UI and you can go into it. We actually updated the firmware on that thing too, just in case. So we were like updating everything we could think of. And that's one thing I've kind of learned is like when in doubt, like update all your BIOSes and all your firmwares as much as you can. I know it sounds risky, and I guess it might be, but man, I've seen it solve just so many problems for us.
If I was to go back and try to think of the number of times that network, you know, negotiation problems have caused application problems in a data center environment, I mean, I wouldn't be able to count it on my hands and feet. That's for sure. It's a lot more than that. And I think a lot of the time, especially like some of the older Catalyst switches, the Cisco switches, and just different combinations of network hardware, you just get failures on auto negotiation and or old drivers. And like you're saying, updating those can make all the difference in the world. But checking the status of your, you know, of your duplex and speeds on your switches and on your network cards will tell you whether that's true or not.
I mean, you make an interesting point there, Greg. You know, Jeff, you didn't actually diagnose the problem. You made it go away. You found roughly where it was, but you didn't know what was the network NIC doing wrong that made everything slower.
That's true. And that's where it would take like a real sysadmin or, you know, somebody who was a network guru to actually look at that. We're doing a very gross level of troubleshooting where you try to sort of narrow it down to certain areas where we can kind of randomly shoot giant cannonballs at it and hope that we fix it.
But this is so where server fault comes in, right? This is where server fault comes in, and, you know, you're able to ask, you know, I imagine this could be a really great question just to seed it and get it started, you know, and to have that conversation, because there are people out there that that's all they do all day long, and they love to share that information.
Well, that's right, and I love leaving, I call it the trail of breadcrumbs. I feel like, okay, I had an experience, and I actually did write about this on the Stack Overflow blog, but I feel like there's so many situations where people have a problem, they solve it through some really clever troubleshooting, or maybe it's not even clever, but the fact is that they solved it, right? This could help other people. So if you can reduce that friction and say, okay, you don't have to write a blog entry, because that's kind of a pain in the butt. You have to have a blog, you have to know how to use the blog, you have to sit down and take, you know, I mean, when I write a blog entry, it's usually like 30 minutes to an hour minimum to even begin writing it. So with server fault and with Stack Overflow, the intent is that you can go on there, you don't even have to log in, literally. There's no login. You can just go in there and just start typing and just get the minimum amount of information in there. And then, for example, about this networking problem. And then once you submit the question, other people can edit it and improve it. And we see this all the time on Stack Overflow, and I'm hoping we'll see it on server fault as well, where people would take these questions and just really build them up and make them into awesome, you know, resources for other people that are having the same problem you are.
Right.
In a way that really gets people to participate, really lowers the bar for participation, and kind of makes it kind of fun, too, because we have like a reputation system. So if you post stuff that's helpful, people vote it up, and you get credit for that. And then you can do more stuff in the system. So it's sort of a really nice positive feedback loop. It's not only that you're helping sort of your peers, but you're also helping yourself. You know, you can find this information later, you can look it up, and you get a reputation for it. Other people can see what you've done. And you can actually use it as kind of a calling card in some scenarios, too. So you get something out of it, too.
Sure.
I love the fact that you diagnosed out and proved you'd solved your networking problem using Firebug.
Yeah.
That's such a developer solution.
Yes.
You know.
It is absolutely.
You fired up.
The only thing. Yeah. We do have this tool called Cacti. I don't know if you guys have used that.
No. What is it?
Yeah. So, Cacti, I think, feeds into the monitoring protocols. I think I want to say SNMP. And again, I'm not a really good sysadmin, so I don't actually know.
SNMP traps,
but it gives us like statistics on bandwidth and throughput and things like that. And you can hook it up to any SNMP counters. So we actually do run that on our server, so we actually know how much bandwidth we're using, how much CPU we're using. For example, it'll track CPU on all the different CPUs on all the servers and have these really cool graphs. But yeah, I would have loved to post this on server fault and have somebody give me this really detailed information about, you know, what I could have done or some other tools I could have used that I don't know about. Sure. Yep. I would love that.
Yeah, just thinking about all the different ways we could have diagnosed down to that problem. Like, Perfmon's your friend for this sort of thing, that you could have seen that your request times were like, or what your packet sizes were like, or the other tool would be Wireshark. Like, those are
Wireshark's a good tool.
Those are IT tools for doing network diagnosis. But it's, you know, you've definitely showed off a developer chops solving a networking problem with Firebug. It's fabulous. I love it. Well, and I think it's almost an encouragement. Like, we should be using more of these tools, because Firebug and YSlow, those are great ways to look at website behavior.
They are.
Absolutely. And I think, too, if there's some cross-pollination between, you know, developers and, you know, really pros, network pros, that's awesome. I mean, I think if we can learn from each other, that's certainly the philosophy of Stack Overflow, where we have, you know, we have Java developers, we have C# developers, we have Python developers. We're really, right. you know, saying, you know, this is about us learning the craft together more than being religious about a tool set. It's about what can we learn from each other. So I would love it if that same mindset could extend, you know, what can developers learn from, you know, networking pros, you know, and sysadmins and gurus.
Well, and with Stack Overflow and then Server Fault sort of being part of the same family, if you will, I mean, I imagine you'll probably get some people that are participating in both, but anything that we can do to bridge the divide, if you will, that cliche divide between dev and IT, and have everybody work a little closer together and better understand each other's roles, responsibilities, and needs is just a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there will be ways to move questions back and forth, for example, in the system. And if you have an account,
great.
And right now we can only go one way because Server Fault is still, you know, just in its infancy.
Right.
But you can actually transfer some of your reputation over. Although we do feel like people should be able to build their reps separately. Like, we think skill in the IT and system inside is not, doesn't mean that you have, just because you have programming skill doesn't mean you have skill in this other area. So the reputation systems are independent. There will just be a tiny bonus for when you first come over, because we figure, okay, you know how to use our software, right? You've learned how to use Stack Overflow, so
Sure. You
don't need to go through the newbie training wheels on Server Fault like everybody else.
So what is the infrastructure that runs Stack Overflow? We sort of talked around it, but what gear are you using now?
So right now it's two websites. We have some additional servers there, but the real active servers are the Lenovo 2U, which is 6 hard drives, 2 CPUs, and 24 gigs of memory. That's our database server.
Right.
And then the web tier is another Lenovo server. It's a 1U. It has single CPU, quad core, 8 gigs of memory, and just dual mirrored hard drives. So that's what's really doing the heavy lifting right now. We also have a network attached storage device, which is like super, super low end, which I kind of regret buying now, that's storing our backups and stuff. And a little managed switch. And then we have some other web servers we're going to bring online. Like Server Fault is going to be its own 1U.
Right.
But it will share the database server.
Gotcha.
No redundancy in hardware at all? If you lose a web server, you're down?
Well, we could transfer over. If we, you know, the database is being backed up pretty regularly
right. To
the network attached storage. So let's say all the running servers get blown up. We have the servers online and ready to go in the different roles. We have 2 extra servers sitting there doing nothing.
Right.
Gotcha.
So they would be pressed into service as the database server, and one of them would be pressed into service as the web server. Or in a worst case scenario, it could all be on one machine. So it's like a lukewarm failover.
Yeah, I was just saying, that's a warm failover. Exactly. You've got to step in and switch it over. But that's fine. You know, at least you have some redundancy. And the reality is, I mean, Stack Overflow is a great site, and I hate it when it's down. But I'm not going to die.
That's an appropriate level of service continuity, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, although as we start to get more sort of revenue attached to the site, because we do want this to be a self-sustaining business. In other words, I want to be able to pay myself. I want to be able to pay Jared, the other programmer I work with, and ideally Jeff, a second programmer as well. So it does start to hurt us. Like, we've started to actually be more careful about when we take the site down. We have a certain amount of ad revenue that we have to generate just to, you know, make, you know, be ramen profitable. In other words, just to have enough to sort of keep the lights on and keep everybody on the ship, if you will. So, yeah, we've started to be sensitive to that. I think the pressure is going to come internally for that more than anything else.
I see that pre-release here, you've got a logo contest going on. Have you finalized your logo yet, or when do you plan to do that? People might be interested
in getting involved. I'm actually real happy with it because we use the site 99designs.com. Which is like an aggregated design source where anybody can sort of pitch a design and you pick an eventual winner. And they actually thematically sort of, there's a theme between the logos of Stack Overflow and Server Fault, which is great because, as you brought up, this really is a sister site, Stack Overflow.
Right.
These really sites
are
going to be really related in a lot of ways. So they're going to look similar. They're going to have different visual styles, different domain names, different communities that grow up around them, but they're closely related. So that the logo can express that relationship was very, very cool.
Good.
So I was very pleased with that.
Well, guys, I think we're just about out of time. Jeff, any little call-outs there? We're certainly going to enjoy Server Fault. I think I'm going to hang out there. It's certainly topics I care about. Anything else?
I know I'll be there.
No, just, you know, visit us on Server Fault and let us, and if we're doing it wrong, let us know. We want to hear that too.
You bet. Jeff Atwood, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.